And we're back here on Unusual Sources, 93.3 CFMU FM. And as promised, we have Jamie Burnett, an organizer in Quebec, who has been here along with Sunchi quite recently as part of a series of workshops. This was one of the first to take place in Toronto, and he's been quite heavily involved in the events in Quebec. So, Jamie, thanks for coming with us live on the program today.
It's great to be here.
Well, it's great to have you, and I was very pleased to announce your event on this program, and people did hear about it here. I guess for those who are trying to catch up, Jamie and Sunchi were coming to Toronto just a few weeks ago with accounts of what happened in Quebec and what Ontario can perhaps learn from some of those events if people wish to fight for education, lower tuition here in Ontario. And there was a weekend workshop, and the feature was the Quebec strike. So how did that workshop go, Jamie?
So it was originally organized as part of the Toronto Anarchist Book Fair. And I think from my understanding, how it ended up being organized is there was obviously an interest in having a presentation from Quebec and about Quebec. And as we were working on developing the content for it, one of the things we realized is we're both sort of Anglophone organizers in Quebec who aren't from Quebec. We don't have as much background here. We're maybe not involved with some of the higher level stuff going on, but what we thought we did have a lot to share about was kind of the situation we faced as organizers on Anglophone university campuses where there hadn't really been strikes before. And one of the reasons we thought that was important, aside from the fact that it was sort of the experience we could speak to the best, was something that we were already seeing when we were planning that workshop, is that there's all these students in Ontario and on these different campuses who are talking about doing the same thing we did. So we thought that sort of in that context where we face some of the same challenges and we're expecting people who are organizing in Ontario to have to deal with some of these same problems, we thought we had a lot to say with how we dealt with those problems. So the main focus of the workshop was how to overcome the sorts of problems that people face organizing on Anglophone university campuses with no history of strikes. So that would be things like, say, cultural barriers, where either correctly or incorrectly, people have this idea that, you know, we can't really organize strikes because we don't have the same culture as there is in Quebec, where there is more of a history of mass organizing, of radicalism, of student militancy. And so, you know, we were able to say, like, this is something we dealt with at McGill. People who are at McGill, whatever their politics are, tend to believe that you can't really do much because it's McGill, and the culture is different and the history is different and whatever. So one of the things that we talked about was how you could sort of think about overcoming that. Some of the other things are sort of more institutional or structural, like the student unions themselves are organized differently. And again, that was something we faced. And something we actually did during the workshop that was really interesting to me because it turned out to sort of work better than I thought it would, which is we just asked people who came to that workshop what challenges they'd faced or expected to face organizing for strikes on their own campuses. And basically every single thing they mentioned, we had a very full blackboard of about 30 or 40 different things that people mentioned. Basically every single thing up there was something that we encountered and to some extent overcame. So we think that we organizing in Quebec on these Anglophone university campuses at McGill and Concordia have a lot to share with people in Ontario right now.
Well, you were over at McGill, and I understand the attitude there was that McGill is different than the other universities. It's a more conservative campus. It has other cultural issues that make it distinct, and therefore that it would not be part of the strike. But, I mean, that turned out to be untrue.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it turned out to be partially untrue. I mean, it was definitely the case that the strikes were smaller at McGill than they were at the other Montreal universities. They weren't always as popular. You know, in some cases there was more kind of conflict around them. They were more difficult, whether that was politically or logistically or in terms of dealing with the administration, which was a lot more hostile to students. So of course, McGill is different in some real ways, and it provided challenges to us that we had to overcome. But, you know, we didn't do perfectly at all. I mean, we made a lot of mistakes, and one of the things that really sort of we feel we have to share is all the different things we did wrong. But I think that a lot of McGill being different is kind of this mythology that has to do with the institution trying to present itself as being really special. And, you know, you come to McGill because it's really special. And, I mean, there was a sort of an anecdote from one of the strike votes at the General Assembly. Someone stood up and said, yeah, McGill is different, and that's not necessarily such a great thing. McGill is really special, but that's not necessarily that great. And one thing that people have been sort of trying to do, in some cases intentionally, in some cases not, is you know, you can change the culture of your university. If you're a university student, you have some say over what goes on there. And I think one of the broader movements that's really important, one of the broader sort of points that the student movement makes isn't just, you know, to tell people, like, tuition fees should be lower, but to tell people, like, if you're a university student, if you're a university employee, like, you have a say in that institution. And I think that's a really important sort of democratic message that those forms of organizing really present, which is to tell people, like, if you're a McGill student, you have a say in what McGill looks like, and you don't just have to take things for granted.
Well, fair enough. This is very helpful. McGill is different than other campuses. The movement there was different. In some ways, it was more difficult. But it was overall facing similar structural conditions as the rest of Quebec universities were experiencing. And Canada is experiencing a certain structural problem with education, as is the United States and other countries. In the case of Quebec, therefore, there's been a lot of actions. Now, we haven't fully caught up on this program. It's been a few weeks since we discussed it. Since the beginning of the month, in fact, since the last two or three weeks, what's been happening in Quebec in terms of the major actions, or in what way is the mobilization being directed now?
So there's sort of, I want to step back a little bit. I think there's an element of the way that sort of the Anglophone, like the English-speaking world, became aware of the situation in Quebec, mainly after Law 78. And the effect of Law 78, among other things, was it basically suspended the strikes. And so people just aren't doing the same day-to-day sorts of things where they're going to assemblies, they're on picket lines. The negotiations ended near the start of June. So at this point in Quebec right now, there aren't really student strikes, so people aren't on picket lines every day. There aren't the sorts of assemblies that we saw throughout the strike where, you know, every student association basically every week or so was holding an assembly for all of its members to come talk about what they thought their union should be doing, what positions they wanted to take. People aren't really going out to big demonstrations as much. And that partly has to do with sort of momentum. That partly has to do with people just not having to, like, not being required to do the same things they were doing before. I think there's an element of people just being tired, and in some cases wanting to just be over with things. I think in maybe more cases, people are sort of trying to use this pause, this kind of time out to, you know, do their laundry and relax and drink with friends. And, I mean, people have summer jobs, obviously. And so people are kind of focusing on different things right now, and the focus is less on, you know, getting people out to this big demonstration. But what people are really thinking about right now is one of the other effects of Law 78 was that people would be required to go back to class according to certain dates that start in mid-August, and then the individual institution, whether it's a university or a college, is setting the date when they're saying, okay, the students have to come back now. And what people are focusing on these days is not so much, you know, what's going to be happening at the next demonstration, whether that's tonight or next week, but what people are really talking about right now is how do we deal with this attempt by the government to force people back to class. And that is happening in a context where, you know, I think maybe one of the most dangerous provisions of the law, this new special law that was brought in to stop the strikes, is there's these really, really, really massive fines, not just on individuals, but on the organizations themselves, with the idea being that any union, whether it's a student union or a labor union, that participates in interrupting classes, is liable for a fine of up to $125,000. So that's really, really frightening, especially for smaller student unions that have very little money. So people are talking about, you know, how do we do this logistically in terms of the almost sort of frightening situation of big stage ups and a really heavy police presence. How do we do this politically in terms of people being maybe less mobilized than they were before, or distracted with other things, or, you know, people being nervous about the law, and then how do we just sort of reorganize this movement in the month and a half we have between now and mid-August.
Yes, we're going to have to look at that. Obviously, mid-August, the 15th or so, that's going to be a big date. And, I mean, it's part of a strategic redeployment of the demonstration. And that's one of the things about this movement in Quebec, and it's that you're not playing by the rules that have been established for demonstrations, in the sense that these are not rote or these are not routine. You've been able to innovate tactics that fit the needs of your situation. And I think you're right on. With the movement, people have taken a step back. They need to sort things out. And there's been this planning for mid-August. And that's when things need to resume at a certain pace. So can you tell us what is scheduled for mid-August? And what do you think can be done to work out what the government is trying to do here?
Okay. So I'm not going to go into too much detail because it's a little bit complex. But basically, the second or third week of August, starting on August 13th and ending on August 17th, so it's a Monday to a Friday, that week is when most of the stage-ups, so like the colleges that have been on strike, that's when most of the stage-ups that are still on strike are supposed to go back. And it's sort of a few a day, so like on the Monday, there's three stage-ups or four stage-ups that are supposed to go back to class. On the Tuesday, it's maybe two more. So it's sort of a couple stage-ups each day are supposed to go back to class. In that second, I think, week of August. Following that, there's different dates throughout the month of August and early September when different striking students are supposed to go back to class. So that's sort of the dates. In terms of how that's being organized, I mean, one thing that is kind of important is there are still student associations that haven't yet voted on whether or not they're still going to be on strike. There's some of the unions have taken positions that say, like, we will be on strike until we vote to end it, and they haven't voted to end it, and no one expects us to. In other cases where it may be a little bit more difficult, those students are still going to have to decide whether or not this is something they want to keep doing. At any rate, there definitely will still be students on strike come mid-August, and there is a lot of sort of effort within, I guess, what people feel comfortable legally saying, to make it possible for the movement to survive that period of time that is going to be really difficult. And people really don't know how aggressive the policing is going to be. It's kind of hard to say. Yes. But it will definitely be a challenging week. Well, and the week to follow.
And we've seen previews of that in Toronto with the G20, as well as what's already been happening in Quebec. There's certainly a lot of pressure being applied to the students. I remember reading some of my favorite Canadian newspapers, the comments section online, and a number of the comments were directed at striking students saying, well, I know people that are hiring right now, and if they see that someone is from Quebec, they're not going to hire them. If they have a college or university, there's record of them being in university during the summer and in the past months, they're not going to be hired because they may have been involved in that. Now, I mean, putting aside the probably illegal nature of that, how do students feel right now about their participation, their prolonged participation in the strike? Is the summer job or the cancellation of semesters the biggest issue on their minds, or how are they conceiving and conceptualizing the last few months of activity?
So that's a really big question, and I think to some extent it's a bit difficult for me personally to answer, because I think there was a difference in the nature of the strikes at the Anglophone universities, where I maybe have more sort of friends and personal contacts than it was in cases where, A, the strikes were a lot longer, and B, where the strikes actually lasted past exams and ended up being sort of affected directly by Law 78. So like there is a difference between people who were on strike for a lot of weeks and a lot of months and were really involved and it was really tough, but things are sort of over for them now, and the situation faced by people who are still sort of in this limbo position where potentially those strikes could last into August, September, or who knows. And of those people who are in sort of that latter situation where the strikes have been going on for weeks or months and they're not sure when they're going to end, I mean, there's a lot of different positions people have. I mean, even the same person, I mean, on the one hand, everyone's tired of this. Everyone wants this to be able to end to some degree successfully. And I think even for individuals, there's a conflict between, on the one hand, you know, I've put so much into this already. I don't know, you know, how much more I can give. But on the other hand, you know, I've put so much into this already. Like, I'm not going to stop until I finally won. And I think that that's a tension that exists for a lot of people. There's definitely people who fall, you know, more on one side or the other, and I wouldn't be surprised if some of that fatigue rolls into some of the strikes ending. But I think that in general, you know, there were a few days where there were 300,000 students on strike. And when you're talking about a province of Quebec where there's about 360 or 370,000 students, either in universities or colleges, and then 300,000 of them are on strike, I mean, that's a movement that really is everywhere, that really is involving massive numbers of people in a pretty significant way. I mean, it's a lot more significant to be on strike for even a day, where, you know, you get this feeling that you're a part of the student union that has a right to, you know, end academic activities for a day. It's a lot more meaningful and participatory than, you know, even just going to a demonstration. So these are hundreds of thousands of people who are really intimately involved with this major social movement. And that doesn't just go away. That's going to have a lasting impact in the society. This is going to be something that will affect how people, you know, think and act politically 20 years from now. I mean, at the same time, you know, obviously there's a lot of pressures. It's really difficult. People have different feelings about what's gone on already, about how much people have achieved already, how much it's possible to achieve going into the future. And, I mean, a lot of those questions just aren't answered because we don't know. We don't know how things are going to look. And it's frightening for a lot of reasons. And it's really scary to sort of wonder, like, how much the state is willing to just repress people and try to make things go away.
No, it's a very heavy burden that you're bearing in this case. The truth is you've inspired a lot of people all over the world, and every day I get new messages and new images from all over the place. A few weeks ago I had mentioned Chile and Chilean students. Now I've seen Mexican students and even students in Africa wearing red patches, the red squares. So you're the genesis, the source of a lot of this activity, and certainly we're in no position to tell you what to do because it's Quebec that is innovating and moving forward at this time. You're directing your actions. You're deciding what to do. And one of the things that's been happening is the events on the 22nd. You tend to have an event on the 22nd of the month. I'm wondering, is there anything planned for the 22nd of this month?
There is. I mean, I should say that it's not something I've been as involved in. I mean, I haven't gone out to all of those events. I think in one case I was actually on my way to this workshop as that the June 22nd event was going on. I mean, the one that is being planned for July 22nd, and there is a demonstration being planned for July 22nd, I think it's kind of being seen as an opportunity to remobilize people a little bit. I don't know exactly how it's going to be organized. I know that CLASS, like the main sort of student, like striking student coalition, is making a big push for it. I'm sure there will be lots of other organizations and lots of other folks involved. But I mean, I think that there is maybe a bit of an overemphasis on some of the bigger demonstrations because they make for really good photos and they make for really good headlines. And I think that it's important to see those as kind of a consequence of a movement more than like a major feature. I think that those are the sorts of demonstrations you get when you have really deep mobilizing going on sort of behind the scenes in ways that are a little bit less public, and then that sort of becomes a public manifestation of those other things going on. And I think in that context, again, like, people are spending a lot more time right now, even when they're doing political work, sort of in meetings. People are planning. People are doing a lot of thinking right now about how it makes sense to sort of organize their movements. And I think that in that context, you're not necessarily going to see really big numbers. But I think, you know, the other side of that is I think the sort of efforts by the right-wing media to say that this is all over are going to be proven really wrong because, again, 300,000 people don't just disappear. And things continue to be surprising, and I think that people are going to come back in much bigger numbers than I think some people are claiming.
Well, you've proven the critics wrong so far over and over again in these demonstrations, and certainly Quebec has demonstrated a remarkable organizational capacity. So that has been the case so far, and that's what we want to learn about. And it's my understanding that at the end of this month, there's a special event where organizers from Quebec once again are coming to Toronto, in this case, the University of Toronto. This is the 28th and 29th, I believe, July 28th and 29th. Yeah, this is. You know a lot about this, and we can be very thankful for your efforts. This is a workshop and more, and this is going to be primarily on Saturday and Sunday. You've got a few major sessions, how to start, where to get started on this issue, building infrastructure, making strikes work, and there's a lot of interesting workshops, general assemblies, creating student associations, direct democracy at the coalition level. I mean, you can see this all online. In fact, is there a website where people can see the workshop outline?
There isn't a website at this point other than the Facebook event. There should hopefully be one soon. But for now, the Facebook event, I think, is called Ontario Student Strike Training Camp.
Yes.
If people want to look that up. I think, like, the idea for that event sort of came from two places. Now, one of them was something I was talking a bit earlier, which is this idea that people organizing on the English language university campuses in particular have something to offer to Ontario. Now, that's partly in terms of just the fact that we speak English, and something that we've been trying to do in organizing this training camp is we'd like to find people who have a bit of a different experience because, I mean, for one thing, you know, organizing in a big university in Montreal is very different than organizing on a small university campus in northern Quebec, or a small college campus in northern Quebec. And I think that, you know, if you look at students in Ontario, you know, not all of the universities are in Toronto. And so we kind of want to have a bit of a diversity. And the challenge is, of course, there's a lot of people here who don't speak English. So, I mean, one of the reasons that we're doing this is because we speak English. One of the other things is because we're facing sort of a similar cultural environment, we kind of have specific things to say. I think the other sort of structural way that this has been organized is on the premise of, like, the ESSE, which is kind of the predecessor organization of CLASS, has this tradition of organizing training camps, and they're usually on a weekend. They last a couple days, and they're sort of an opportunity to train people really concretely to teach people skills in the sort of different arenas that people need to be able to mobilize and, like, to learn the different types of skills you need to do to be able to mobilize. And that was something that was actually done for us as people who were starting to organize strikes at McGill and Concordia. We had student activists from elsewhere in Quebec come to our schools and give us workshops. And that's something that we're sort of trying to build on and replicate as well in organizing this event, because we think that that was really crucial to us being able to organize on our own.
We certainly have a lot to learn and to talk about. The again, this is on Facebook. Right? So Student Strike Training Camp, is that?
Yeah.
Okay, and there's a tentative schedule listed there. Apparently, there's also informal social events on Friday. There's an email contact address if you require accommodations, and that's I'll give that out towards the end of the the program. But yeah, that's July 28 and 29. And again, we'll get this information out to our listeners about all the events that are happening in Hamilton, Toronto area. Thank you so much, Jamie. There's very few people in all of Canada that would be able to give us such detail on this program right now about this. So we're very appreciative. We'll get this out digitally as well. I know people are learning from interviews with you, with Sunshi, with all the people that we speak to from Quebec and within Ontario who are doing organizing. It's very valuable to us. So, Jamie, thanks so much for being available for us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
And we'll catch up soon. Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
And that is Jamie Burnett, and he is a student involved in the organizing in Quebec, and he has been to Ontario recently to participate in a workshop, and he's been organizing this one as well, this one that's coming up on July 28th and 29th, and that's Student Strike Training Camp. And again, the information is primarily on Facebook. There's an online registration form, which is at www.utgsu.ca/stuorgtrain. So that's STUORGTRAIN. That's the online registration form. And they said that all the student organizers are welcome from whatever campuses, new organizers, experienced organizers. This is obviously to get everyone together in some potpourri to learn from one another and also learn from Quebec and think about the particularities of Ontario and what people can do. So you've heard enough from me on the topic. Why don't you just go to that Facebook page or go to that website or contact Ashley, or at least the email address, ashleigh@utgsu.ca. That's the email for accommodations.